I got something really good. I've been wanting to teach this since we started back into the waters. I've been wanting to teach this. The Holy Spirit's made me wait. Turn in your Bibles first to John chapter 7. And sometimes God will set a compass, not sometimes, all the time. When God does something, He'll always speak way out in front of you. It's His way. He'll speak way, 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 way out in front of you, like Abraham. He's speaking to the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. Most of what God spoke to him wasn't even going to happen in his lifetime. It was going to have to after his lifetime. But God spoke way out in front of him. For generations to come, He spoke out in front of him, because God always speaks the end from the beginning. Say the end from the beginning. He always speaks the potential. He speaks the compass, because that's where He wants your faith at. He wants your faith way out in front of you. The reason He does that, He wants to get you out of the now, because the now is where the enemy imposes all the warfare. The now is when the enemy is always painting the picture of discouragement and fear. And it's never going to happen. And see, God wants to transport you out of the now and get you into what God has said, where God said it. What does it look like? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to preach potential today. The potential of these living waters to set a compass. So John chapter 7, verse 37. And in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood, cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. That's the thing about God, and especially the revelation of the right hand of God. It's always we have to go to where He is. Amen. You're going to get a lot more with God if you learn to go to where He is instead of God coming to you. Now, God does come to you, but if you want consistency, you got to go to Him. Amen. God coming to you is visitation. You going to God is habitation. God wants you to come to His house. Amen. You always want God to come to your house. That's visitation. However, if you want habitation, you go to His house. Amen. In verse 38 said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now, it's very interesting here that there is no scripture that actually said that. But obviously, the Lord was drawing from somewhere in the imagery of the Old Testament when He said this, because He said, out of the scripture saith out of his innermost being. The Lord was looking at something when He said that. He said He was looking at some scripture in the Old Testament when He said, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being or out of his temple shall flow rivers of living water. Say rivers. Rivers, plural. You don't have one river in you. You've got multiple rivers in you. Hallelujah. That's your capacity, is multiple rivers. And it says, this spake he of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, we know the rivers are originating out of the Father. He showed unto me a pure river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God, proceeding out of the Lamb that's coming out of the Lord. But see, the Holy Spirit been given the governorship of these waters. He is the governor. He is the administrator of the living waters that are within us. He is the one that's going to create the rivers. You cannot create the rivers. They are in you, but you can't create them. He's the one that's going to draw them out, and He's the one that's going to perform the miraculous. He transforms these waters. Once they break out into the jurisdiction of this earth or this system, they change. These living waters turn into miracles. They turn into wealth transference. They turn into blessings. They turn into wine. They turn into glory. They turn into favor. They turn in the kingdom of God. Its spirit becomes flesh once these waters break out. The Holy Spirit manifests the waters into our jurisdiction. That's His glory. That's His job. And He likes to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the governor of the waters. That's why when you're walking by living waters, you're going to have to stay very close to the Holy Ghost. And you're going to have to please Him. Because there's a lot of things that'll plug your fountain up. And when your fountain gets plugged up, even though you got God living on the inside of you, He is bound because the fountain's plugged up. Trespasses will bind the fountain. It'll plug it up. Sin will plug it up. That's why somebody who walks by living waters, they're going to have to walk with God. You can have ministers live in sin. They can turn the gift on because they're not walking by living waters. They're just walking by their gift. But walk by living waters, you're going to have to always, say always, keep the Holy Ghost happy. And if He's not happy, you're not going to be happy. Because he's the one that's drawing it up. Amen? And it's a partnership. He's the senior partnership, and we are under his authority. And he's the one that's going to create eventually the rivers. Now, what today I want to do is show you the potential of one single vessel. Because the Lord said, you as an individual has the capacities for rivers to flow out of you. So today I want to look at the potential of these waters and where I actually believe the Lord was quoting from, because I just really believe this is the scripture he was quoting from. So go to Ezekiel 47. Hallelujah. This is one powerful chapter. If you don't know Ezekiel 47, your Bible should open to Ezekiel 47. When you open, it should leap out of the page. Hallelujah. That is one powerful book. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Today, I want to show you the government that's in these waters, what I call the apostolic king priest government that's in the waters already inside you. Amen. So Ezekiel 47, we'll begin verse 1. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. Ezekiel 47 verse 1 and says, then he, my God, brought me again to the door of the house of the temple. So he brings him into the temple. And behold, the waters issued out from under the threshold of the temple. And that's very important. You read every single word, especially in verse 1 and verse 2. Every single word. The waters broke out from under the temple. Say under. Now the temple was built upon big, large foundation stones. Those stones that they build upon, the temple was built, and it broke out down there, out of the threshold, down in the foundation of the temple. That's very important where the waters broke out. You remember the Bible says that the rock was Christ and the waters broke out of the rock. The Bible calls Christ the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of the temple. The waters were breaking out of the rock underneath the temple. That's good. They're saying that's good. Now look what it is. He said towards the east, for the front of the temple was towards the east. Now if you look at the book of maps, in the back, you'll see it's going to talk about how these waters are going to flow to the Dead Sea. And so the temple actually faced east, and its gate would face east towards the Dead Sea. The waters broke out from under the threshold of the temple. Then watch where they're actually breaking out from, because this imagery is very powerful, because it's telling you where these waters are coming from. They're coming out of the foundation stone, but more importantly, it has a little more to add to it. Amen. It says, and the temple was towards the east, and the waters came down from under the temple, from the right side of the temple, on the south side of the altar. Do you hear that? From the right side. So I'm facing east. That's north. So south is on the right hand. And it broke out of the right side, out of the south side, out of the right hand of God. So where are the waters coming from? The right hand of God. Everything comes from the right hand of God, because that's where Christ inherited all things. When he ascended on the Ancient of Days, he inherited a kingdom and a glory and a dominion. All things are there. Say, all things are there. What we're trying to do is get them here. We know it's finished there. We know he inherited it all. We want it here. So it's telling us how the inheritance is going to flow. It's coming out of the living waters. They're going to break out of the right hand of God, and they're going to come through the threshold of the temple, out of the foundation stone. Every one of us have the cornerstone within our temple, because you are the temple of the living God. Say, I am the temple of the living God. Even the Old Testament, God was not content to live in heaven. He wanted to get down there where man was. He said, I want to get as close to you as I can. If I can't live in you, then I'm going to dwell in a tent with you. And that's what he did to Moses. His glory set it in a tent. And he walked with them in that tent, in that tabernacle. And God said, it's as close as I can get, but I really want to be in you, because I want you to be the temple, and I want to inhabit you. Say, I am the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. Hallelujah forever. And so we being the temple have this foundation stone, this cornerstone in our temple. These waters were breaking out of the right hand of God. They're going to break forth. The inheritance is in the water. And it goes on to say, as they broke forth, they filled the temple floor, and then they broke out of the east gate. Now, when they begin to flow, they actually begin to grow. As they begin to flow, they begin to grow. As they begin to flow, they begin to grow. God is going to release these waters in the last days. God, one of God's designs, one of God's operations in this last day, one of the mysteries of God, how he's going to transform the world, is he's going to break the living waters. He's got his people in every city, in every nation. He has them strategically placed, and the answer for their city and for their nation is up inside of them. And he's strategically placing his people, and they have the answer of their city right inside them. Because this last day, the waters are going to break out of God's people. It's not going to be visitation. It's going to break out. And the answer for their cities is up inside of them. What we need to know is what's in these waters. If all you think is in these waters is a little cup of joy, it's a whole lot more than that. These waters are full of inheritance. And they are full of glory. And they are full of government. How do you know that? Read on. So as the waters begin to flow, you know the story, is he took him out 1,000 cubits. You got to walk over the waters because something's going to happen. This is the church. It's a foreshadow of the church. They walk out and they go to the ankle. Some people like to sit on the shoreline. Some people are content with the ankle deep water. Ankle deep water is all they want because in ankle deep water, you still have your life too. You get to splash around a little bit and you can have your life. But then God will call you out further into the knees. In the knees, when you begin to bend the will, you got to bend the knees to bend the will. In the loins, you get on out there, you begin the birthing center. The loins of the birthing center. You get the loins, you're not even ready to birth. You cannot birth in ankle deep water. There's nothing going to birth but flesh. There's going to be a whole lot of you in ankle deep water. Because you're still in control. The firm footing you have is your firm foot. Running around in the water. But you get in the knees, you got to bend down a little bit. And then in the loins, that's when things begin to birth. I think we're somewhere between the loins and waters to swim in. Because after the loins is something remarkable. Waters to swim in is when we all lose our footing. It's all of him and none of us then. We don't control the waters because the waters have become a mighty river at this point. It's called baptism. We have to come into baptism before the Lord ever did a miracle. Before he even spoke, he had to go into the waters of baptism. Elijah and Elijah passed through the waters of baptism. Moses brought the children of Israel out through the waters of baptism. You got to go into the waters of baptism. Even Peter, before the Lord ordained him personally and said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. He was fishing. He threw himself in the water prophetically. The Holy Ghost said, if you don't jump in, I'm going to throw you in. He was dripping wet when he walked up to the Lord. That's a form of baptism. And the Lord said, now you're ready. We all must go into baptism. It's when we lose our will and we obtain his will. It's when we don't have charge of our life anymore. It's whithersoever the waters flow. It's whithersoever the waters go. I'm not in control of these waters. Holy Spirit is in control of these waters. While I am in ankle deep water, I'm in full control. Said, get me out there in the waters. That's why there's a process to get further out into the waters. You're going to lose more of your life and obtain more of his. Amen. What we're looking for is the waters of baptism. Can you imagine the Lord? Because he's been talking to me a lot about this. Because I've been complaining about a few things. No, I know you never complained to the Lord. You know what he said to me? He said, how would you have liked to have been carrying the next dispensation for the world and had to sit on it for 30 years? Without ever getting to speak a word publicly. We know by the age 12, he already knew who he was, and he was already confounding the lawyers and the doctors of his day. So we know by 12, he had a great deal already downloaded because he knew exactly who he was. He says, am I not to be about my father's business? And yet he had to sit another 18 years, and he went into the temple every week. He went into the temple, and he could not speak one word of who he was or his mission. Had to sit on it, carrying the next dispensation. Couldn't do one miracle. How many people you think had to die in his village? Being the Son of God, he could do nothing for them until his time. There is a time ordained for the Father. And for the Lord, it came through baptism. He went into the waters, and when he came up, the Holy Ghost came upon him, and then the great light came. The glory came, and immediately revival was breaking out city by city by city by city. You know that was a great day for him because he had all that shut up in his bones. For all that time, he couldn't release any of it. Some of you got a whole lot shut up in your bones. Some of you may have the answer for this generation shut up in your bones. And you think God has forgotten about you. But God has not forgotten. He's not forgotten any of you in this place. May not be your time yet. You may have to be processed. Everybody goes that Moses had to be processed. I do not want the Moses route. That's 40 years. I prefer David's route. That was 13 years. Lord, please don't give me the Moses route. Abraham 25, it just depends. But everyone had a process. Everyone had to be prepared for that anointing. But just because you're in a season of preparation and no door is open doesn't mean God has forgotten you. God is, listen, as long as you can feel it, he has not forgotten you. As long as that churns up in your belly, he's not forgotten you. As long as that hunger stirs, as long as you're frustrated with holy frustration, God has not forgotten you. If you got holy frustration locked up inside of you, he's not forgotten you. If you can't feel nothing, you hadn't felt nothing in 5 years, there might be something about you he doesn't like. Everybody's got that hunger. You wouldn't be in this church for certain. Everyone say, God has not forgotten me. So these waters, they reach into full baptism. And once he gets them into baptism, now they're ready. The church is ready. You're ready. That's the potential. I believe when the Lord said, as the scripture saith, out of his innermost being floweth rivers. I believe he's speaking directly out. He's looking at Ezekiel 47. He's looking at the potential of these living waters to flow out of one vessel. Imagine when it's going to flow out of millions in this last hour. He's looking at that potential. He's seeing these waters flow. He's seeing them come to full baptism. He's seeing them come. See, the church must come into baptism in the last days. Coming into baptism of the living water, where we lose our life to the will of the waters. Amen. Father, help us lose our life to the will of the living waters. Because once these waters reach overhead, you're not in control anymore. Say, I am not in control. For you A-type personalities that love to be in control, none of us are going to be in control of the next one. Amen? Watch what happens. Once this happens, something shifts. Hallelujah. Now, Joel 3:18 references this fountain too. And the New Living Translation says, and a fountain will burst forth from the Lord's temple. Say, it'll burst forth. Speaking of the exact same waters bursting forth from the Lord's temple. Now look at verse 8. Then he said unto me, he brings him back. He says, the waters pour out towards the eastern region and go down into Arabia, the Jordan Valley, and on into the Dead Sea. So we know these waters are going to flow in the Dead Sea. I want to look at a few things about the Dead Sea today in these waters. I want to look at what they did when they reached the Dead Sea. What was in the waters? What was the impact? What happened? Now, the Dead Sea is representing, of course, the Dead Sea of humanity. These waters are going to flow into the Dead Sea of humanity. Oh, hallelujah. And when they shall enter into the sea of putrid waters, says the waters shall be healed and made fresh. So these waters we carry take precedence, priority, authority, and dominion over the waters of the world system. Over the Dead Sea. Verse 9, and wherever, now notice this, I'm reading out of Amplified. If you got an Amplified, you are spot on today. Wherever this double river shall go, you need to underline that. Verse 9, wherever this double river, boy, when I read from the Amplified, I missed it. Because King James said, wherever these waters flow, or these rivers, it spoke of not one river, but more than one. And the Lord in John 7 spoke of more than one river. He spoke of multiple rivers. And Amplified said, wherever this double, say double, double river. Man, when I got onto that, I said, woo, what is that? Because I know one goes down into the Dead Sea, and everything that's dead will live again. But there is another river. And I don't know about you, but when I find something like that, I mean, I am a Holy Ghost hound dog. I want to find out what was the double river, where did it go, what was in it. Amen. Let's finish the Dead Sea and I'll show you the double river. And so wherever this double river shall go, every living creature which swarms shall live. And there shall be a great number of fish because these waters go there. The waters of the sea may be healed and made fresh, and everything shall live wherever these waters go. So everything that's dead is going to live, and there's going to be a great number of fish. He goes on to say there's fishermen are going to stand on the shores of En-Gedi to En-Eglayam. These fishermen, that stretches the whole length of the Dead Sea. That means the fishermen are going to stand from the north, the south, the east, and the west. The fishermen are going to be all over the world. And when these waters break out, everything that's dead is going to live again. They're going to cast their nets. And the Bible says they're going to bring up fish. Hey, Betty Jean Richard, y'all hear that? They're going to be a fish of every nation, tongue, tribe, and nation. A great multitude of fish. So we know evangelism is in these waters. How about waters? How about evangelism by living waters? Because when they broke out of the early church in one service, without advertisement, 3,000 people born again. The second time they broke out, without advertisement, after that miracle, 5,000 people born again. That is a mega church right there. And it says the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. So much so that the religious system was upsetting their apple cart. Because everybody was vacating their temples to serve the true and the living God. They were losing their control. They were losing their money. And they were very angry about it. We see the evangelism that's in these waters. When they break out, listen to me, I'm going to tell you something. When these waters fully break out, evangelism is going to be made easy. Say easy. You might have only won one person to the Lord. When the waters break out, you might be sitting on 5,000 people. Then at the revival, you'll go out and the waters break out and the whole complex gets saved. Because these waters have no restraint. They cause the death to bow down. They cause the death nature to bow down. The law of sin and death must bow to these waters. And sickness and disease must bow down to these waters. Everything that's dead, everything that was subjected to the curse will live again. As soon as these waters hit, they have creative life in them. Waters of creative life. There's growth. There's government. There's development in these waters. There's life in these waters. And there's a whole lot more than the church is presently operating in. And they're all up inside of us. It's going to be God's answer to the world in this last hour. These waters are going to break out again. The mighty Holy Ghost, the governor of these waters, he's going to draw these waters out again. He's going to draw evangelism out. He's going to draw miracles, signs, wonders out. He's going to draw creative life out of these waters. Is anybody listening to me today? Can I have an amen? Look at verse 12. And on the banks of the river, on both its sides, there shall grow all kinds of trees for food. Say all kinds of trees. That is apostolic government. Not one tree, but all kinds of trees. There's all kinds of food growing off the banks. Now, there wasn't no trees there. When the waters broke out, all of a sudden there was trees. And there was all kinds of fruit. Say all kinds. A multiplicity of God's government, of inheritance, of growth, of development. They all just automatically, see, that's the wonderful thing about walking by the living waters. Things get on autopilot. They automatically grow. The dude that was walking out in the water did not develop the trees. The water created the growth. The water created the evangelism. The water created the life. The water created the creative miracles. All he was doing was walking in the water, being baptized with the water, flowing with the water. The water did it all. Amen. It's like not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Hallelujah. It says their leaf. I love this. This is amplified really in verse 12. Their leaf shall not fade. Say, my leaf shall not fade. When the waters flow, your work is not going to fade. You're not going to be bright glowing one day, and the next day your lamp's going to be put out. You're not going to be a withered tree anymore. You're not going to burst something and 3 months later it becomes a withered tree. You were going to show somebody your withered branch. You should have seen it one day. It had a whole lot of leaves on it. Blooms of flowers were coming out. It really looked beautiful. I need to tell you what it looked like. They're looking at the withered branch. Under the waters, the leaves do not fade. It's consistent because the waters create habitation. The waters create consistency. It's not up one day, down the next. It's not being anointed one week and not anointed the next week. It's not a move of God, then all of a sudden dry, parched land. The worst thing you can ever do is birth a move of God and lose it. If you ever birth the move of God and lose it, you might as well kiss your church goodbye. Because you cannot take people up in the heavenlies and drop them back down into the earth. It'll be all manner of discontentment. I remember we had a conference back in 2005, I think, 6. So, I mean, God showed up at this conference. We thought revival had broken out. Thank God it didn't break out then. We would have lost it for sure. It's not just about being anointed. You need to know what's going on out there after you're anointed. Because you're going to get exposed to a lot of stuff that you're not ready for. So don't rush the process. Because God may have something very spectacular in mind for you. He may have a very powerful, powerful anointing that can impact a generation to place on your life. And you got to get ready for that because you don't know what the enemy has in store for you. You don't know the traps. You think you know. It's like a teenager that knows everything until they get faced with reality and they know nothing. You got to trust the Lord, let him train us in a few things. I told Chuck, I said, man, we have been through everything under the sun, but now I'm kind of grateful we have been because we've seen so much thrown at us for so long. We've gotten a little wiser on a few things. Amen. When we had no wisdom, we have a little bit of wisdom now. It's called experiential wisdom. It was very painful. But anyway, the point was is that anointing was so awesome. We were lifted up in the heavens. And I remember it was like Saturday and then Sunday came. And I come in here thinking, man, we are going to blow the doors out of the place on Sunday. And we went back. Not only we didn't have that anointing. We didn't go back to our regular anointing. It dropped about 10 degrees lower than that. It was the hardest service I ever did in my life. And I began to understand what it's like for people to experience revival. And if they lose it, if you study revivals, if they get it and they lose it, most time their ministries are completely over. The churches they birth out of are completely over. Because you can't take people in the heavens if you can't keep them there. It's going to work against you. Hear what I'm saying. But the glorious part is the waters are going to create leaves that will not wither. Yeah. He says in their fruit, he says their leaves shall not fade, nor shall their fruit fail to meet the demand. See, humanity is going to bring a demand during this last day revival, but we're going to create fruit that's not going to fail. It's going to meet the demand. Amen. Notice what it says here. This is amplified. These who has an amplified Bible? Raise your hand. These supernatural qualities being, because the waters came from out of the sanctuary. The reason this was happening, the reason why the fruit would not fail, the reason why the leaf would not wither is because the waters came out of the sanctuary, and their fruit shall be for food and their leaves for healing, for the healing of the nations. Oh, that's apostolic government right there, my friends. That was one river. Tell you one river. But there's another river. Hallelujah. Now, before we get that, if you go to Isaiah 35, I'm just going to quote it, but he says the exact same thing. He said, the eyes of the blind would see, the ears of the deaf would be unstopped, the lame would leap about the sanctuary, and the tongue of the dumb would sing, for in the wilderness the waters would break out. And he contributed the waters to the healing and the glory of that operation of miracles, signs, and wonders out of Isaiah 35. So that's a confirmation that these waters have creative miracles in them. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Now, I want to look now, shift the gear. I want to look at the double river. This is awesome because there was two of them. Actually, one river came out of the sanctuary, but God broke it in half. Now, if you have a map, the book of maps, there, see, these waters flow to another sea. Half of them flow to the Dead Sea. The other half flow to the Great Sea. Now, if you'll turn to Zechariah 14, thank God this verse is in the Bible. Hallelujah. Zechariah 14 and 8. Now, all these waters are in you. They're in you. These rivers are in us. Now, the first waters were for the Dead Sea. Those were waters, apostolic evangelism, growth and development. But there's another water, the waters of the kingly anointing, the waters, what I call waters of wealth transference. You got to really understand what's going on here. So Zechariah 14:8, I'm going to read from the Amplified again. It said, "It shall come to pass in that day that living waters shall go forth out of Jerusalem." So the same waters coming out of the temple, spoken of in Ezekiel 47, spoken of in Joel chapter 3. Here's a third confirmation. And the Lord was drawing his imagery out when he said this, out of your innermost being, out of your temple. So it came to pass in that day that living waters would go out of Jerusalem. Notice what he says here. So awesome. Half of them towards the eastern Dead Sea. Half of them to the western Mediterranean Sea. This is the same sea, the Mediterranean. Do you know the Mediterranean Sea? The Mediterranean Sea, listen, during this time, the whole world consisted of everything around the Mediterranean Sea. All international business was done in that sea. It fed the Nile, that fed all of the wealth of Egypt. It fed into Rome. The Macedonian Grace that Chuck spoke of, it was on the seas of Macedonia. All that was being done in the world, the ships. In fact, Psalms 107, they that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. That was not talking about the Dead Sea. This was talking about the Great Sea or the Sea of Commerce, the Sea of International Finance. And it just so happens these waters also flow to that sea. So if the waters that flow to the Dead Sea had priority, precedence, and dominion over the Dead Sea, then they have priority, precedence, and dominion over the Great Sea as well. These waters have power over the systems of the world that govern the seas of commerce. Somebody ought to say amen. Also, something you might know, we just preached this recently. Remember the King of Tyre? Remember us preaching on the King of Tyre, situated on the sea? All the wealth of Solomon transferred to Tyre. And the King of Tyre, described as the devil himself in Ezekiel 28, called himself a king of a city they spread fishnets upon. I remember the Lord originally got me in that series. He said, why would you think the devil and all his pomp and glory would call himself a king they spread fishnets upon, a king of a city they spread fishnets upon, when he boasts to be the god of this world system? That's how I got into that series about Tyre. And we teach that recently, how the wealth of Solomon and the trading and the trafficking and all of that shifted to Tyre, and the devil became the king of that city. And talked about how it was a conglomeration of nations and a trading mart of nations, and all the wealth of the then known world was existing out of Tyre. Well, guess where he sits? He sits right on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. And all the commerce of that sea came to that place. It was the merchandising mart of the nations, it called it. And these waters flow to that sea. And they, in these last days, to him who hath ears to hear, will flow against the system that king has set up. Because since his day, since the fall of Solomon, nobody has ruled the earth the way Solomon did, with the transference of the wealth of the nations. Is when the King of Tyre set up that operation, nobody has trumped that operation since Solomon. Not even the early church had this type of operation. The Macedonian Grace was about as large as a god, until Constantine introduced the church, the Emperor Constantine, when he introduced the church to the political system, It was introduced to wealth and the political system, completely put the church's light out for 1,000 years. The light went out. They weren't ready. These waters were not speaking of that day because they didn't overcome. It overcame the church. When they were thriving under persecution, they lost it when they were introduced to this operation called the lust of other things, deceitfulness of riches, choked the whole thing out. But the Bible says in the last day, these waters are going to issue out. They're going to flow to the Dead Sea, but they're also going to flow. And I really believe when these waters are going to flow to the Great Sea, what Jesus had in mind was the same devil that tempted him in the wilderness. Remember, he said he took him to an exceedingly high mountain. Remember that? See, the devil, all he does is counterfeit. The Lord's mountain is Mount Zion, so the devil gets him a mountain too. This was a spiritual mountain, but he took him to an exceedingly high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He said, all this stuff I'll give you. This bow down and worship, it's all mine. Jesus didn't even dispute that at that time. He said, all this stuff I'll give you. The glory of them was the wealth of those nations and the cities and the nations. He took him somewhere, some ruling stronghold that he had. We know that he calls himself the King of Tyre, and that was a ruling stronghold of the wealth of the nations. We know that. This is by Scripture. He took him there. But in the last days, the Bible said the living waters are going to flow out of the sanctuary. And these living waters, because they have the inheritance of God in them, they have the inheritance of the right hand, worthy of him to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. The sevenfold inheritance, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. All that was in the waters. So when they released and the Holy Spirit was governor of the waters, when those waters flow into the great sea, when they flow into the sea of commerce, when they flow, they are going to cause the systems of the world to bow down. They're going to cause the systems of debt and mammon to bow down. The King of Tyre is going to have to bow down for a season. The systems of the world are going to have to bow down for a season. And great prosperity and increase, abundance and inheritance will be given to God's people for a season. For the apostolic reformation or for the apostolic government to come online, God's going to finance it the way it needs to be financed because it has the waters of the kingly anointing in it. And when the waters of the kingly anointing flow, they're going to flow into the great sea of commerce, and that commerce that's on those seas is going to bow low to those waters because these waters who issue out of the sanctuary have priority and they have dominion. Come on, let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. I'll close with this. Isaiah 60, you can turn there. These waters are in you. Whether you know it or not, they're in you. If you know it, everything that's in the right hand of God is going to come out of these waters. The glory of the right hand of God is going to be downloaded in its fullness in the last days. Everything Christ inherited is going to be released and downloaded. It's going to be moving through these waters. The Holy Spirit's the governor. He's going to send these waters to every tongue, tribe, and nation. And there's going to be a king, priest, government flowing, double river flowing. Let the double river flow. Let the double river flow. Let the double river flow. It's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power. It's going to be by my Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to take these waters. And as soon as they touch the system of this world, bow down. As soon as they touch disease, bow down. As soon as they touch broken humanity, bow down. As soon as they touch poverty, debt, lack, need, destruction, bow down. You can shout at it all day long, or you can speak to the fountain and let the waters flow, because these waters have priority. Oh, hallelujah. I can preach myself happy on this one. That's why when I hold the Constitution, it's mapped out the king, priest, government. I know that every word in that is in the waters, and I know these waters are going to break. I know that I know that I know that I know. And I know these waters are in God's people, and they need to know what's in these waters. Because all you think you're drinking is a little cup of joy. It's a whole lot more. There's rivers up inside of us. So Rome, Asia Minor, Greece, Macedonia, Egypt, Tyre, all of the commerce of the nations was running the Mediterranean. These waters are going to flow. For our day and hour, it's the whole world and the systems thereof. If you even understood how normal economics or the present day economics, how they work, it's all debt-based system. The entire economics of this country is a debt-based system. It's conceived by the spirit of mammon. Anyway, we won't go there today. Praise the Lord. Okay, Isaiah chapter 60. Okay, ready? Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine. Ever heard this one? Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Definitely last day stuff right here. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth. Last day stuff. Gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. Definitely last day bridal company. King, priest, apostolic government, bridal day company. Hallelujah. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. He speaks of the Gentiles, the lost world, and kings. Again, king, priest, government. All right. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all that gather themselves together. They come to thee, and thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see. Look at this. Verse 5. And flow together. Speaking. Hallelujah. Thou shalt see and flow together. And thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. Thou shalt be enlarged because the abundance. Ready? The abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentile, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The abundance of the sea will be converted to thee, be turned over to you. The abundance of the sea. He is not talking about the Dead Sea. He is talking about the Great Sea, the Mediterranean, the Sea of Commerce, and the wealth of the Gentiles will come unto you. Last day scripture right there. Everyone say, the abundance of the seas will come unto me. These waters have inheritance. They have generational inheritance. They have inheritance for your sons and daughters. They have our future in them. They have everything we need to build. They have everything we need to multiply. They have everything we need to evangelize. They have everything we need to birth an apostolic government. It's in the waters. Look at your neighbor and say, it's in the waters. They're not going to flow if we choose to corrupt them. They're not going to compete with the fountain of the flesh. If we choose to operate by the sweat of the brow, the waters will just sit there. These waters must be respected. They must be honored. They must be seen. And the Lord said it like this. He said, he that believeth on me, he's going to require faith for the waters. Doesn't come like a gift realm comes where it just turns on. These waters, he that believeth upon me. But now you know what's in the waters, hey? Amen? That means when they break out, they're going to procure favor on your behalf. They're going to create blessings that weren't there. They're going to create abundance that wasn't there. When these waters break out, poverty will immediately bow down. Debt will immediately bow down. Lack will immediately bow down. This congregation can move into a place of inheritance in these waters. Psalms 107, and I'll close with this, I think. Says, the wilderness shall become a standing pool of water, and your dry land shall be turned into water springs. And it's there I will bring the hungry to dwell, that I may prepare a city for habitation. It's there that you will sow the fields and plant the vineyards and reap the increase thereof. It's there that will bless you, and I will greatly multiply you. It's there that I will suffer you not to decrease anymore. He promises, when the waters become a standing pool, when the wilderness, the waters break out and become a standing pool of water, there will not be any decrease anymore. There will be increase and great multiplication. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Glory to God.